Welcome, and thank you for joining us. On Sunday evening, November 25th, I joined Dr. Simcha Katz, chairman of the OU's Joint Kashrus Commission, Rabbi Avraham Juravel, head of OU Kashrus Technical Services, and a group of senior OU Kashrus staff for a special kosherization, a special koshering, and a production at a well-established ricotta cheese company. The evening's protocol was to kosher the cheese facility's cholov stam, that is regular dairy equipment, and to supervise an overnight special production of cholov Yisrael ricotta, ricotta cheese made from special rabbinically supervised milk, for an OU-certified manufacturer of upscale Italian specialty products. Despite weeks of detailed pre-planning and discussion with all parties involved, the challenges of the koshering and the many unexpected events which transpired made the event unforgettable. The program was to proceed as follows. A tanker truck of Chol of Israel milk, under a very reliable and widely accepted hashkacha, that is, certification, was to arrive at 10 to 10:30 p.m. at the ricotta cheese plant. The OU mashkiach, the OU rabbinic supervisor, would personally remove the seals at the tanker's top and back hatches, which are opened at the Chol of Israel farm when the milk is pumped into the tanker and must remain closed until arrival at the cheese company. And the mashkiach would verify that the seals' numbers match the bill of lading, the tanker's shipping document, to be provided by the tanker's driver. Normally, a bill of lading for a Chol of Israel tanker is signed and dated in Hebrew by the farm's mashkiach. Or the tanker's seals bear the farm mashkiach's insignia and possibly a specific dated code. It is critical for the mashkiach at the receiving facility to see the farm mashkiach's signature and assure that it corresponds with the seals, or to verify that the seals bear the farm mashkiach's insignia. Otherwise, there is no guarantee of Chol of Israel status. The first production-related task for our mashkiach was to obtain such verification. The milk would then be pumped into a silo, a massive holding vessel, at the cheese facility, from whence it would travel to heated ricotta cheese vats, where vinegar and salt are dosed into the milk, resulting in the milk's coagulation into ricotta cheese. The cheese would then be removed from the vats via strainers, while whey, which is excess residual liquid, would flow out. The plant's workers would then pass the very hot cheese held by hand in strainers to large perforated plastic buckets on a portable metal table, which would be wheeled over to mixing tanks, where the ricotta cheese would be blended to attain uniform texture. The ricotta would then be cut so as to allow excess whey to drain out, and would be immediately pumped out and packaged into 30-pound sealed plastic bags, while still hot at 180 degrees Fahrenheit, and then placed into boxes for immediate chilling. To accommodate the koshering and production, the OU team's planned protocol consisted of the following steps. Number one, drain the boiler and refill it with fresh water. Chazal, the Talmudic sages, ruled that ta'am, that flavor of a substance, may penetrate the walls of a vessel and pass through to the vessel's inner or outer contents. This is found in Yoredeya 92.5. In this case, the boiler steam heated previous vats of cholov stam, of regular dairy ricotta cheese, in which the steam was contained in pipes lining the vats called jackets, and passed heat through the jackets to the cheese. And the steam, which may have absorbed ta'am, may have absorbed taste of cholov stam ricotta through the vats' walls, then traveled back to the boiler for future use. Since the steam has possible blios, possible absorbed taste of cholov stam, it was not to be used and new steam was required. Number two, receive the tanker of Chol of Israel milk and verify its status. This includes checking that all seals applied under supervision at the Chol of Israel farm are unbroken and only opened by the cheese plant mashkiach, and corroborating the seals' numbers against the farm mashkiach simonim, that is, signs of certification, such as a signed bill of lading matching the seal numbers or the presence of the farm mashkiach's name on the seals as detailed earlier. It was also necessary for the mashkiach to assure that the amount of milk pumped into the ricotta system for our production match the amount of milk in the Chol of Israel tanker truck. Number 3, make sure that the silo into which the Chol of Israel milk was to be unloaded was totally clean. A visual inspection with a flashlight sufficed to make sure that the silo was clean for our special production. Number 4, kosher the cheese vats. These vats are the equipment in which the milk is converted into cheese at temperatures above 180 degrees, and they are heated with steam jackets, as noted earlier. These vats therefore require hagola, a boiling water purge. Similarly, the stirring utensils used directly in the heated vats for the ricotta cheese required hagola, a boiling water purge. Number 5, kosher the portable table mixing tanks, cutting machine, and pump. Since these pieces of equipment do not have their own heating sources and are thus halachically classified as having the status of a kli sheni, a secondary utensil, therefore eroi, koshering by pouring or hosing boiling water, would suffice. Lastly, number 6, unseal the cheese strainers dedicated by the previous kosher agency for Chol of Israel production and verify their status. The OU team was told that the kosher agency which previously supervised this facility had maintained sealed Chol of Israel strainers dedicated exclusively for Chol of Israel productions, which was a real plus for us, as these strainers would not require koshering or any special cleaning for the evening's production. However, verifying the Chol of Israel status of these strainers proved to be a real challenge. Aside from the significant amount of koshering and related verification, as well as witnessing the entire production, the Mashgiach was to take an active role in two of the manufacturing processes. Firstly, many poskim, many halachic authorities, rule that even rennetless cheese, such as ricotta, is encumbered by the requirement of Gevinas Yisrael, rabbinically supervised cheese. According to many opinions, the requirement of Gevinas Yisrael necessitates that the rabbinic supervisor actually himself make the cheese by adding the coagulant, the rennet or the vinegar or the cultures. In order to accommodate these positions, our mashgiach was to personally dose each vat of milk with the vinegar-salt blend, as vinegar serves as the active ingredient which turns milk into ricotta cheese. Secondly, special production items always need a significant kosher security seal. In this case, OU headquarters prepared uniquely coated tamper-proof adhesive strips with the mashgiach's initials and the ricotta plant's USDA code and name. The mashgiach would retain these adhesive strips in his sole control and issue the amount needed to be applied in his presence to the outer boxes of ricotta, thereby assuring full security of the contents. Simultaneously, I issued a hashgacha certificate, a letter of certification which is required on an industrial level as proof of kosher status, stating that the ricotta cheese was only certified when bearing the specific adhesive strips and other specific identifiers, thereby limiting certification to the exclusion of any ricotta not bearing the coded strips and identifiers. As we finally commenced our work at the plant, it became clear that we were in for many surprises. The seals of the Chol of Israel tanker truck did not have a mashgiach's name or other readily apparent simonim, signs on them, indicating special Chol of Israel status. Nor was the bill of lading that came with the truck signed by the farm mashgiach. After a full hour of investigation, including contacting the trucking company's dispatcher, attempting to get through by phone to the farm mashgiach, speaking with the various powers that be at the cheese plant, I decided to take another look at the tanker seal in the dark of the night. I could not see anything, except for the seal numbers, but I felt all sides of the seal for any clues of kosher information, when I suddenly detected that the backs of the seals all bore a colorless above-surface engraving of the kosher agency symbol. Whew, we were all relieved, and we again then checked each seal against the bill of lading, and were confident that all was fine. The next day, I contacted this kosher agency, the agency that certified the Chol of Israel tanker, which took immediate steps to address the issue for future Chol of Israel milk shipments. The ricotta strainers at the plant also posed some very serious concerns. In preparation for the koshering, I was told by the Rakata company that all Hull of Israel strainers were sealed and signed by the Mashgiach from previous non-OU productions, as mentioned earlier. Well, this was not exactly the case. What we did encounter was that the large plastic straining buckets were indeed sealed in tight plastic wrapping, absent the signature of or any kosher signs from the previous Mashgiach. After initial indications that the ink with which the Mashgiach from the non-OU productions signed his name on the plastic wrapping had accidentally smeared off, a bit of investigation led to confirmation that the plant's workers had actually broken the former Mashgiach sealed and signed wrapping and later rewrapped the buckets with their own wrapping, absent any kosher information or supervision. Rabbi Jurovil directed that new, unused buckets were therefore needed, as the Chol of Israel buckets, which had been wrapped by the plant's workers, lacked halachic identifiers. The plant workers immediately took out a large drill to bore holes in the brand new buckets. It also turned out that the metal ricotta strainers to be used that evening were not sealed, and that the previous kosher agency had actually koshered these strainers at every Chol of Israel production. Rabbi Jurovil examined the strainers and noticed that each one had a highly curved rim, which one cannot properly kosher through Haggalah, due to the likelihood of food residue being embedded in the rim. Rabbi Jurovil immediately obtained an acetylene torch and spent 10 minutes carefully koshering the rim area of each strainer, as well as running the torch's intense flame over the strainer's holes. As we all watched, behold, the fire generated sparks and thin smoke as it sizzled and spread beneath the rims of the strainers, for the fire was consuming food residue, which was in the rim's curvatures. This was live proof that the Liburn Chomer, the heavy torching that Rabbi Jurovil did, was truly called for. The ricotta vats had metal piping, which descended into them, thereby becoming submerged in the heated milk as it becomes cheese. How could this piping, which has actual Cholov Stam food contact, be koshered? After all, the piping was suspended above the vats, with only the lower part of the piping entering into the vats, and thereby having exposure to Haggalah water. The top sections of the piping were in the air, well above the vats. Rabbi Jurovil again reached for the acetylene torch and showed the Mashgiach how to perform Libun Kal, light torching, to the piping. Since the piping was only used for liquid and had no residue, and it really required Haggalah, Libun Kal sufficed, as it is an effective form of koshering wherever Haggalah is needed. There was one more area of slight concern. The mixing tanks did not have their own heat source, and were to be koshered via Iroi, pouring or hosing boiling water into them. Rabbi Eli Gersten, one of the OU's halachic specialists, suggested that the koshering should accommodate the position of the Maharshal, quoted in Yoredeya in the Shach 94:30, that a davar gush, a thick, hot solid, which is no longer in a kli rishon, in an originally heated vessel, has the same rule as food in a kli rishon, therefore requiring a kli sheni, which contacted this davar gush, to undergo full Haggalah, rather than simple iroi. In our case, if we were to assume that the 180-degree masses of rakat occurred, following the drainage of whey, had the status of a davar gush, then Haggalah would be mandatory, according to the Maharshal, reasoned Rabbi Gersten. In order to satisfy this possibility, it was directed that a steam hose would be inserted into the mixing vats once they were filled with water, so that the steam would heat the water in the mixing vats and achieve a real Haggalah there. We were now finally ready to kosher. We had verified the status of the milk, its silo was totally clean, and the equipment was prepared. The vats were filled with hot water and set to a boil, steaming with mist. However, our thermometer indicated that the water temperature was still quite low, irrespective of the appearance of intense heat. Once the water was visibly boiling, and its temperature was verified as such, the metal strainers and stirring equipment were submerged for Haggalah as well. The boiling water from the vats was piped to the mixing tanks, where the steam hose was inserted, creating a boil in the vats and filling the room with thick mist. The water from the mixing tanks was directed through the equipment attached to it, such as the cheese cutter, its pump and filler, flushing through the whole apparatus. Rabbi Gersten instructed that boiling water from the vats be splashed on the portable tables as well. Throughout the night, the Mashgiach was present to supervise the entire production and to personally dose the vinegar and salt blend into every single vat of ricotta cheese. Upon completion of the production, the Mashgiach distributed the coated OU adhesive strips to the packaging crew and observed the packaging and labeling process, taking with him the unused adhesive strips for future occasions. Rabbi Jurovel also directed that these strips be used to mark each piece of equipment after it was koshered. The entire koshering session was utterly impressive, attesting to the complexity of industrial kosheris and the expertise which it requires and which the public has the right to expect. Thank you for joining and have a great day.